Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The pandemic revealed and exacerbated a mental health crisis among youth across the country. In Sacramento, the public health department, in tandem with school districts, are responding to an overwhelming number of students in need of support. And that need falls disproportionately on the most vulnerable youth, including students of color. The county is investing in mental health resources on campuses, but the pace is struggling to meet the demand. CAP Radio Sacramento education reporter Shrishti Prabha has been following the county's progress, learning that one solution involves leaning on community organizations to fill the gap. And most importantly, listening to those living through these challenges, youth. Shrishti, nice to see you.
Thanks for having me, Vicky.
So this is a continuation of your reporting. The last time you joined us, you told us that there were 40 school psychologists for 300 schools in Sacramento County. Now, this was part of a pilot program that County Superintendent Dave Gordon shared with us on Insight at the beginning of the year to place a mental health clinician at every campus. At the time, he said this wasn't really being done elsewhere in the state. So what's the progress on how this program is scaling up?
So like we talked about last time, jumping from 20 to 40 for 300 schools feels like not enough. And after some digging, it's very clear that there's a shortage of mental health professionals in California. So this is happening on average, but this is also true in Sacramento. Many districts are independently adding 20 to 30 psychologists to address the issue, but I'm not sure that would be enough to reduce the ratios, which I'll expand upon later. However, in the last year, Sacramento County Public Health Department had to support 12,000 students. And so that's an average of 1,000 students requiring services a month. And I mean, that's a crazy number, and it requires appropriate systems in place.
Right. I mean, 1,000 students a month for, you know, a few dozen school psychologists that are currently available. Let's focus on the students behind these numbers. What are their needs? What did you learn about what they're facing?
Yeah, so we previously spoke about the public health department's findings in Sacramento, where 40% of students in Sacramento were facing or reporting feelings of sadness and hopelessness. But that number actually reaches up to 70% for vulnerable populations like unhoused students, foster youth, Latin and Black students, queer youth, students of color. So that exists.
Do you think the data is a fair representation?
I actually think it's not. I think it may be underrepresenting mental health incidences in the county. And I spoke to clinical psychologists at the UCLA Center for Public Health Policy, Dr. Blanche Wright, who mentioned that the data might not be telling of what is happening in the here and now.
And sometimes it's only a piece of the pie. You know, you ask about sadness and hopelessness. That's one type of mental health challenge, but there's a lot of other types that maybe are not always represented in data that we're getting.
Yeah, and then it's layered because there's also this complexity of cultural stigma. So I spoke with 18-year-old Black woman, Amari Haysbert, who just graduated from Hiram Johnson right here in Sacramento, and she tells me of how generational trauma can potentially silence Black women from reporting mental health-related concerns.
Yes, generational trauma is it's a very big thing, especially with women of color. There's a lot of sit down and be quiet that you pass on to your daughters over and over and over again. And that causes for different types of, like, when different situations arise, you react on how your parents taught you to. So when there's a situation where you need to speak up and you do not speak up, it's not always because you feel like, oh, me speaking up is bad. It's bad because I think it's bad. It's my mom told me to be quiet when I was younger and to keep my mouth closed. So that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, I can identify with that. I mean, when I was a kid, I was told like crying is weakness, you know, and so not being in touch with that vulnerability. When it comes to schools, we're learning that, you know, they're just chipping away at additional support. It's not enough, as we're learning from your reporting. But is it making a dent in helping alleviate the youth mental health crisis in Sacramento?
Yeah, to be honest, there needs to be more investment. Some of the numbers that I found truly unnerving were the ratios of students per mental health professional, which I mentioned earlier. So in Sacramento County during the 2019 and 2020 school year, there were almost 6,300 students allotted to one social worker, 1,300 students allotted to one school psychologist, and almost 700 students allotted to one school counselor.
Yeah, that's just not even realistic in what one person can shoulder. What is actually the recommendation number when it comes to students per mental health personnel?
So 250 for a school psychologist is what was recommended. But we are well above the recommended numbers in Sacramento. And Dr. Imelda Padilla-Frasto, a research scientist at the UCLA Center for Public Health Health Policy Research, said to me that even this caseload can be too much for one clinician.
I think we need to do better in general. But I think what these ratios mean is that it's, you know, among these 500 students, you know, one in three, maybe one in two are going to have mental health problems. So they're really only seeing about, you know, 250 students. But even that is still, you know, can be a really large caseload for school psychologists. And so, you know, I really think what needs to happen is there just needs to be more programs that serve a larger number of students on mental wellness.
And this data that we're talking about is from 2 years ago. So much has happened in the past 2 years, from remote learning, hybrid learning. Are there any updated numbers?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Vicky. So unfortunately, even though I was out there trying to find this data, we don't have the exact same data, but the American School Counselor Association did find that during the 2020 and 2021 school year, there were 600 students for one school counselor in California. So the problem persists. However, I do want to talk about data because it was quite difficult to find. And like all data, it takes time to collect, it requires funding, and then it helps position policy. So I spoke to two UCLA researchers, which you've heard from, Dr. Imelda Padilla-Frasto and Dr. Blanche Wright, who are both finding that they're facing barriers in just funding for the research and funding to, you know, actually analyze the data that might exist or actually providing that data. And then when they write these policy briefs, they're finding a lack of response to them.
So a lack of response in addition to a lack of sustainable funding for their research. Why are they being left unread when I think overall there is an acknowledgement that this is a crisis, a youth mental health crisis across the country, including California, including Sacramento?
I think it just comes down to money, right? When you send out these policy briefs and they're being circulated, it's asking for more money for something. And, whether that's like funding local organizations or funding programs or funding policy or funding whatever, it requires money. And I think, unfortunately, this isn't the top priority, even though it's very clear that this is something that needs to be addressed, which is why I did this reporting, because I think it's obvious that we need the help, but people are just letting it fall to the wayside.
Well, and what you learned is there are some solutions being applied, at least at the local level. So let's focus on that. What's being done?
So what I'm seeing is that local community-based organizations are stepping in and they're partnering with districts to pilot these mental wellness programs on campus in the Sacramento area.
And this is kind of just starting. It's in its infancy. Are you finding that this is a good model?
So it's actually not fully in its infancy. Some are new, which I'll talk to you a little more about. But some are kind of old and have been around and actually have been partnered with the schools for a minute.
Well, so that's great and have that experience.
Exactly. So that it means that the districts have already tried to invest, especially culturally competent type of mental wellness programs. And one of those is Improve Your Tomorrow. But I think the main thing is that these programs need to be at the districts and schools because that is the best point of intervention. So I spoke with another young woman, Jenilyn Fan, who told me that despite all the adversity she faced, she found herself in a mental wellness program called IQ Squad because it was on the school campus.
I didn't have a good foundation. I didn't have, my parents were separated. I rarely saw my dad. I was kind of like sleeping on the streets, train stations, stuff like that when I was a little kid. My mom wasn't present. But one thing I always did was take myself to school though.
Yeah, finding that stability and meeting people where they are, which in her case was school on campus.
Yeah, exactly. And Dr. Padilla Frosto affirmed what I had been researching. She felt community orgs can offset that burden from the schools on and the districts onto the community. The mental wellness programs provided by these local nonprofits local nonprofits can be more culturally competent since the organizations are based in the community. So Jen and Amari, who we've both heard speak during this segment, were part of the program IQ Squad, which has partnered with local nonprofit Youth Forward to deliver on-site services at Harem Johnson, Luther Burbank, McClatchy, and American Legion High School in Sac City Unified.
So what do these programs look like?
So, yeah, Youth Forward is one of the many programs, and I'll tell you a little bit about Youth Forward. So the IQ Squad program, they call themselves the She Movement, which is empowering women of color, empowering women in general to speak up and acknowledge when they're having these issues with their mental health or even just being empowered enough to speak up and voice their concerns. The Center for Sierra Health Foundation is also being funded by the County Public Health Department to have organizations for Black and other vulnerable youth on site. So we have Roberts Family Development Center, which works on literacy and youth. You have Improve Your Tomorrow, which is actually for mental wellness and academic success for Black boys. On Track, which is a culturally responsive mental wellness program for Black youth. And Rose Family Creative Empowerment Center, socially and cultural poverty programs for arts and education.
Wow. So they're addressing so many needs. How are students responding to these programs?
Yeah, I think it's imperative that we hear from the students because they actually can communicate their needs the best. And they're so smart. I want to reference IQ Squad once again because I was at the table with program director Nakia Bell and her two students, Amari and Jen. And it was quite an emotional experience to be in this room. I want you to hear a little of how this interaction impacted the person on the ground advocating for these women.
Because without Miss Kia, without my sister forcing me to wake up on Saturdays to go to IQ Squad, I wouldn't be here. I would have either been in a worse situation, I probably wouldn't be here at all, or I just would be the same standard uniform Mari, where you have to hide yourself. But I'm not no more. And I'm not... Can't give all the credit to Miss Kia, but you have no choice but to be like, I'm needed. And that feels amazing. Like, I wish I could say, I don't know what words can amount to how thankful I am for you, but I am so thankful.
Do you have anything to say?
Sorry.
I didn't expect to come here. I'm not even crying. But seeing... her repeat, oh my God. Let me, we've cleared my throat. Seeing her share her story, it's heartbreaking to know that she had to suffer, that she had to struggle. And just being able to say that I see you, that I recognize your light, her brilliance, because she is. When Amari is in the space, when you have that opportunity to hear her speak, to share her insight, you're like, that human being is amazing and her future is bright. And I'm just so grateful that she felt I played a part in that. And all it was bringing these young folk into this space and letting them know that you belong here, that you have value, that you are so worthy, and that you are enough.
That is so powerful.
Yeah, it was really incredible to be in the space with these two young women who felt empowered enough to be vulnerable with me. I think that's the power of a program like IQ Squad, where the adults delivering the services are invested and they're consistent. That's why programs like this work. Both women communicated to me that they might not have been alive without the program, which was really hard to hear. These amazing and brilliant women suffered COVID, being unhoused, sexual abuse, unstable family structures. But with Nakia's support, they were able to emerge on the other end of it. So IQ Squad did more than just that. afterwards, they even provided them careers post-graduation. So their goal was to empower women of color, and they managed to do that with Amari and Jen. And I saw the power of their work firsthand while I was doing the reporting.
Yeah, and that's just, it's just wonderful and just so powerful that they opened up with you and wanted to share that. In the last 20 seconds or so that we have, where are we at with funding? What is coming up this fall and even with this election?
Right. So all organizations I mentioned are part of the SAC Kids First Coalition to pass Measure L on the November ballot to generate funding for Sacramento youth. Measure L would allocate roughly $10 million from the general fund, or the equivalent of 40% of the annual cannabis business tax revenue, to promote positive youth development and youth violence prevention.
So the work continues for you, Srishti.
Yes.
Srishti Prabha is CAP Radio's Sacramento education reporter. You can find more information on Srishti's reporting at CAP Radio's website, as well as our Insight page. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.